to Psalms 100 again. Psalms 100. And just go ahead and read the whole thing. It says, verse 1. This is a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Excuse me. I left off last week about know ye that the Lord, he is God. And I stated that if you can make a joyful noise unto the Lord, if you serve the Lord with gladness, and you can come before his presence, his presence was singing. You know the Lord. He says, know ye the Lord. He doesn't say everybody know the Lord, although everybody should know the Lord. Everybody should worship the Lord. Everybody doesn't. Why? Because everybody doesn't know. And the fact that they don't know is evident by the fact that there is no fear of God before their eyes. To know God is to fear God.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go to the reverential awe thing, although there is that.
Sure.
This doesn't really mean fear. Yeah, it does. Yes, it does. Now, I'll get to it maybe in a little bit, but that fear sometimes is replaced by the love for the Lord. But there was a spirit of fear. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And modern religion totally skips that step. They cut it out. Why? Because they want people to come of their own accord. And why would you come of your own accord to something you fear? Well, you will if you don't have anywhere else to go, Mason. If you've got nowhere else to go and the only place you can go is to the Lord, he'll bring you. He has brought you. Anyhow, the Lord, he is God. But this next statement is the one that got me when I first read through this. Because, lo, many years ago, so 31 years ago, the Lord gave me life and converted me. And I thought, since I was born and raised Catholic, I didn't know anything about the Bible. Other than what I had just been hearing a little bit here and there. I thought I should read this thing from cover to cover. And I did. And I'm going to tell you, some of it was hard because I had no idea what I was reading. But I started, actually, now, this worked out really well for me. I started out in the New Testament. And I read it through. And really had some wonderful experiences in the book of John. But then, after I finished that, I started on the Old Testament. And that was tougher. That was a lot tougher because I didn't know anything other than Jesus Christ is God. And that I knew he saved me. And that if he had done, and if he would do to anyone what he had done to me, they'd be saved. Because I wasn't looking for him. I wasn't looking for him. But he found me anyway. And in so doing, I found him. Because he revealed himself to me. But with that in mind, and especially after I had hit John 6, and I read that, I said, you can't come to me. No man comes to me except to be given him of the Father. And then I read it, and he said it again. That's when I laid hold on what I had been apprehended for. It's when I came to accept, because I didn't, it's not my believing that makes it valid. It's the book that's valid in me that needs to accept it. But I had nowhere else to go but to him. And that was the great blessing at the end when you looked at the disciples and said, will you go away? Everybody else did. Well, I'd already been through my little personal epiphany there, as they call it. And I wasn't going anywhere because I had nowhere else to go. Peter said it rightly. Thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? There is nobody else. He is God. And believers know the Lord that he is God. But then he made this statement. And it's in the middle of the verse. It is he that hath made us. So I was surrounded by people at the time I read this that thought they made themselves. And we're surrounded today by people who think they help themselves get saved. But here it is in the Old Testament. Not just in the New, it's in the Old Testament because God has never changed. And I was seeing it in other places too, but I do remember this one. And this one in, what was it? Wasn't too long after that. Psalms 110, verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And I remember these two psalms. And I, you know, in this Bible here, I've got it circled in red, thy power. See, I'm not so worried about the willing part. He can handle that. It's just if he's willing to show his power, to make his power known, because his power exists, we just don't know about it. Mankind has no idea how powerful God is as mankind naturally is. They have gone through great lengths to think up stories and make up stuff. And that's basically, I'm serious, what the Big Bang Theory is. Trying to explain how this universe and we came into being. I believe this book. God spoke it into being. The Lord spoke it into being because he is God. Now, the same one that spoke the world into being, he made us. Now, this is very specific. Also, God always is specific. God always is particular. It's man that generalizes everything. See, I just made a big generalization there. I'm guilty. It's in our nature to be general not specific. Because generally, when you're general in statements, you don't offend sometimes as much as you do as when you are specific. God is always specific. And if you want to be offended at him, you go right ahead. There are lots of people who are. And they'll be offended at you if you tell them what God said. It is he that made us. He did it. The same one who spoke the worlds into being, the same one who said, "Let there be light," made us. Those that can make a joyful noise unto the Lord, those that serve the Lord with gladness, those who come before his presence with singing, those that know the Lord. He made us. And I looked at the Greek, the Hebrew word here. And the word translated made means to make. Or to do. The Lord made his people. And I like how it's kind of, it's written in the past tense. Because we're talking about the Lord. We live in the present tense. We think about the future tense and we try to remember in the past tense. But the Lord made us is written in the past tense. The Lord is not making his people.
Right.
He made them.
Right.
That's something you won't hear in any other places either. The Lord is not making his people. He has chosen and made his people from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
He's not making his people now, no matter what anyone else says. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is giving life to his people in this present time. But they already were his people. That's the part that people don't like, people don't get. And that's also part of what this scripture is about. The Lord hath made us. He hath made us. Personally, the Lord of creation, the Lord of all glory, chose in eternity past, as they say, long ago and far away, to have a people. And he chose that people. He made that people. And now, in this day and age, he is giving life to those people, and they are coming to know the Lord, that he is God. Because I do like the way he put it this in this verse. First of all, it says, "Know ye the Lord, he made us." If he hadn't made us, we'd never known him. If he hadn't made us, he never would have revealed himself to us, and we never would have known him. But we're going to know him before we knew he made us. His people were chosen from before the foundation of the world. And now, in this perspective of Psalms 100, they're looking forward to the Messiah coming. From our perspective right now, we're looking back where the Messiah had come and made the sacrifice for sin forever, made redemption for his people. That's why he came. They already were his people before he came. It was told Joseph, he's going to save his people. He already had his people from their sins. And he did. 2,000 years ago. The psalmist was looking forward. We look back at what has been accomplished. Because it was promised to those who already were his people and accomplished by the acceptance of the perfect sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Father. Redemption is over. Redemption has been accomplished. Probably a better way to say it. There is no more redeeming. The price has been paid. It was the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he did that for his people, which we already were, even though we weren't been, hadn't been born, hadn't even been thought of. West Virginia hadn't been discovered yet. I'm glad it was. I'm glad John Alderson wandered around these parts for a while. The salvation of his people now has been accomplished. It was promised to them and accomplished. And now, right now, those who have been given life and heard the gospel have now discovered, we find out, that we are his people. And what's more, we find out that we always were his people. Mm-hmm. Because we have discovered that the Lord had already made us.
Yeah.
I like what, was it Tim James at one time quoted a scripture? Says, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." Salvation already been accomplished. Redemption had already happened. The good news is that it has happened.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ has saved his people from their sins with his precious blood, which was offered once to God for us. Even though we weren't there. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Here in this psalm, they're looking forward to that. But they were also people of God. Those that know the Lord, that he is God. Those that serve him with gladness, that come before his presence with singing, and they make a joyful noise. That's us. In this day and age, that's believers. There's no difference in the salvation in the Old Testament and the salvation in the New Testament other than the fact that Christ had not died. The people in the Old Testament were chosen from before the foundation of the world, just as we were chosen from before the foundation of the world. And the people in the Old Testament were saved by the blood of Christ. No difference. That was one of the big things I always had a problem with, Walter. When you go to some Arminian churches, see, people in the Old Testament were saved one way. People in the New Testament are saved by grace. They were saved by law. We're saved by grace. Now, in the book of Revelation, I don't know what they were talking about. Not the preachers, okay? Because some of them would say, well, there's going to be 144,000. There ain't going to be 139,000. There's going to be 144,000. It's sovereign in the book of Revelation, but it's not anywhere else. No, he's the same today. Yesterday, today and forever. His salvation is the same yesterday and today and forever, and his salvation will always be the same. It is through his blood, which has taken away our sins, that was accepted by the Father. As Walter said, we don't have sins anymore. I still commit them, but God doesn't see them. I still commit them, but Christ has already paid for them. He made us. And just in case you weren't sure, he didn't stop there. He said, and not we ourselves. 1st we had the positive, and now we have the negative. 1st positive is he made us. The negative is we didn't do it. Not we ourselves. Just in case you weren't sure. Because there are some people who can't read. Or they can read, but they say, oh, well, that doesn't mean what it says. Yes, it does. It means exactly what it says. It means that he made us and we didn't have anything to do with it. Matter of fact, he made us and we weren't even there. Amen. Not we ourselves. And I looked at that and I thought, well, you know, why did the psalmist write this down? It's because the truth of God in Christ, the truth of the Lord that he is God and that he made us and not we ourselves, goes against every natural thought and belief of the natural man. Because there are people who will read that and won't believe it. Even so, they say they believe the Bible. Walter's been there, I've been there. We have been told before, my God wouldn't do that. Well, they're right. Their God wouldn't do it, but the God of the Bible did. As a matter of fact, he wrote it down for us and told us he did it. And they still won't have it. He had people come and preach it and write it and read it and proclaim it, and they still will not have this man to reign over them. Jesus Christ is God. He is my Lord. He is Lord. He made us and not we ourselves, but people don't want that. I want it. I want it because he showed me, Walter, a long time ago, that I need it. Without him making me and not me myself or I wouldn't be here. I'd still be dead in trespasses and in sin. Without him, I have nothing. I already said it. I wasn't looking for him. He found me. Now, I understand there are religious people who go to church every day. But I have talked to a fair sampling of religious people, at least in this area. And from what I hear on the television or the internet and books and stuff, I don't see much difference between them and the ones in Missouri or Texas or California or anywhere else. They may be seeking, but they're not looking for the Christ of the Bible. Because these words are written down in black and white in their Bibles. It says, he made us and not we ourselves. I looked at three or four different versions. Now maybe somebody garbles it, but there's more. It's everywhere. Psalms 110, like I read. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Whose people are they? His. Thy. Whose power is it? His. Thy. How much plainer does it have to be? Well, it can't be any plainer. And it doesn't help anyway. Because without life from God, you will not know the Lord. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. And He made us and not we ourselves. And being in the Old Testament, Walter, I can take this to the fact that I think Noah didn't make himself. Abraham didn't make himself. No one in the Old Testament made themselves. No one in the New Testament made themselves. It's the Lord that makes His people. I didn't make myself. Walter, I didn't even make myself know the Lord. I had nothing to do with knowing my Lord until He gave it to me. My life, and through revelation, through the gospel of His beloved Son. He hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people. Past tense, He made us. Present tense, we are. And the sheep of His pasture. Amen. They keep going to these shepherd allegories. I like shepherd allegories. I like it as a metaphor. I like it as a reality. He made us. We're His people, but we're still sheep. And sheep without a shepherd are called prey. Called food for bears and wolves and coyotes and whatever else happens to be wandering around. But luckily, He that made us is our good shepherd. And I like how He said, we are His people. It doesn't say it is true, but it's not the point. We say He's our Lord. Okay, that's true, and it's good. But the fact is, the only reason He's our Lord is because we're His people. He made us, not we ourselves. We're His people. Now, because of that, we believe Him. We know Him because the Good Shepherd takes care of us. He goes out looking for His sheep, and He finds them. And He brings them in, and they live. And we're the sheep of His pasture. Our life is in Him. The life we do have is in Him. The life we got from Him. The life we have in Him. The life we will have, we're going to get from Him. Because we're in His pasture. And there is food in His pasture. There is life in His pasture for His sheep. I don't understand how Armenians can use the Good Shepherd as a story anyway. Oh, that's it, Mac. They don't. At best, they got a mediocre shepherd. At best. I need a good shepherd. I need one that's going to come out and find me and bring me back and make sure I don't wander off, because I will. That's the kind of shepherd I need. And by God's grace, that's the kind of shepherd his people have.
Yeah.
And always will have. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time and this place. But most of all, thankful for you who made us and not we ourselves, and who gives us life and the Spirit and the knowledge of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.